a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Fourth and goal. Stroud throws. Caught. Touchdown. Stephon Diggs. His second of the game. And Ryans rolls the dice and it pays off.
He did roll the dice. DeMeco showed some chutzpah on Sunday in the Texans' 29-27 win over the Colts. And yesterday on the show, I think I, Joe, offended a lot of people by saying that had the Texans played a better team than the Colts, that they probably would have lost. We have raised expectations for the Houston Texans this season. I feel like because of that, we should nitpick a win in a way that last year we wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important to also remember that even though the expectations are raised here, the floor is so far above one of the teams that we saw last night and a couple of other teams that we saw over the weekend. I can't see this Texans season going disastrously. I could see them maybe being 10-7 and we're all like, yeah, we thought they would do better. But I watched the New York Jets last night and, oh boy, I was rubbing my nipples that entire game watching them same old Jets it again. Then I watched a little bit of the Jake Asman show on YouTube and I continued to do it.
How was that experience?
It was beautiful. I love watching Jets fans sad. And it's just nice to have a reminder that the expectations here are raised and you are no longer like a franchise like the New York Jets.
Yes, the expectations for this team is to be a playoff team. It's so nice that we don't have to think about what it was the years before that. Not just the Davis Mills year, but even the Deshaun Watson years. I mean, Bill O'Brien, great job at Boston College so far. But the expectations could never fully get there with B.O.B. in
right.
charge. Like you never really felt that this team ever could have a Super Bowl aspiration with Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly or whoever was calling the plays. Like you never felt like you could get there.
It was an interesting 2018 and 2019. There were expectations going into 2018 because Watson looked good, but he got hurt. And then they started off 0-3, and even though they won 9 in a row after that, no one cared. And then the next year, that lack of care that stemmed from the 0-3 start and a season ending with a loss to the Colts, I don't think people really got excited because even the playoff victory against the Bills was messy. And then they had that big lead on the Chiefs. And of course, they blew it. O'Brien's out afterwards. So you're right.
Yeah. And for the people that got upset at all, like I can't help you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is not going to be sunshine and rainbows and everything's perfect. And like, I'm not going to say, like, I know I have bad takes, okay? I have bad
takes.
Don't
say that.
I don't have stupid takes. And there are people yeah. that after one Texans game are saying the dumbest things I've ever heard Baytown Batty. Like, come on.
Like what? What did he say?
He said Joe Mixon's the best running back the Texans have ever had.
Arian Foster.
Like, give me a break.
That's
it's
crazy.
One game.
Yeah.
But, like, there is lots of things to be excited about. But the floor has been raised. The ceiling has been raised. It is a good time to be a Houston Texans fan, a viewer of the Houston Texans, like whatever you are. It's the narrative has changed, and if it hasn't changed yet, well, we're gonna try to change it ourselves,
and that's why we're raising the expectations. And I do think that they were fortunate to beat Indianapolis. They played a team that they were better than, and if they had played a team that was on another level, the game that they gave on Sunday, they probably would have lost. I did not say they were more lucky than good, but I just wanted to remind everybody that, hey, because we have these raised expectations, we can also sit up in our ivory tower and laugh at the New York Jets. We can also laugh at the Cleveland Browns. Now,
yes, we can.
Before we get back into talking about yet another Deshaun Watson development, I just want to play the audio of the first caller on the Browns flagship station, Ken Carman, who was a great radio host. Took a caller, and it did not take very long for this Browns fan to start wistfully reminiscing about Baker Mayfield.
Oh, two numbers. You'll figure them out.
42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating, Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second. That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it.
Same old Jets, same old Browns. This is the same old Browns.
I'm so glad we don't have to do that.
It's also the same old Deshaun Watson. So right after yesterday's show was done, I saw a story that popped up from Pro Football Talk and said Deshaun Watson sued for sexual assault and battery, and I assumed this was going to be another masseuse story. I read the beginning of it, and I feel bad because at first I was like, oh, it's just another story about Deshaun Watson being a freak with buttocks massage requests. But it, from the report, sounds like a rape. And look, we'll see what happens here, but it is yet another sign of Deshaun Watson's, at the very least, clear deviance. And he's no longer here. It's great that he's no longer here. It's horrible that the Browns decided to throw all their morals into the wind and they get this guy and they're paying him all that money. Deshaun Watson was asked about the week that led up to a also horrible game that he played against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. And he brought up that it's been a trying week because his father passed away.
Again, it's been a long week. You know, at the end of the day, you know, football is definitely something that, you know, we got to take very, very serious. And it's our job. It's our career. But, you know, there's other things that's bigger than this. You know, I lost my dad Friday. I lost my brother, my teammate yesterday, DeAndre Overton, only 26 years old. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a long week, you know, and you know, they gave me an opportunity to go back home, but you know, I told them I wanted to be with my guys. So,
he said he wanted to be with his guys.
It wasn't even really about football. It was really just kind of, you know, his first time seeing me over the weekend, kind of, you know, letting me know he's here with me.
So that was Deshaun Watson. And, I mean, on one hand, you do feel for anyone who loses their father, who loses a friend, but you had this to that story that just came out about Deshaun Watson and the stories that we have here in Houston already, that's public knowledge, the 26 allegations of sexual misconduct. You throw a sexual assault on top of all of that. And I'm curious as to what's next. And I'm thankful that the Texans have removed themselves from this situation and also got a lot in return for Deshaun Watson, just from a football perspective. But while, again, I'm going to say that the expectations are raised, and I wanted a little more out of the Texans than I saw from them in their win. Like, this is so far in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
It's glorious.
Can I ask you, with the floor, I know there's a long C.J. Stroud career in front of us, though. Isn't the floor just now raised? Is it for the franchise in general? Like you would say, like, the Dallas Cowboys have not achieved, right, the ultimate heights of what they've wanted. They have not gone back to a Super Bowl. But this is a franchise that has now gone through, you know, quarterback changes in my lifetime, going, you know, you got Bledsoe and Prescott and Romo and these guys, but they're always an above 500 football team. They're always a playoff team. Doesn't it also feel that just like the floor for the franchise for the foreseeable future has changed?
Yeah, definitely.
Like I don't want to ever go back to think about, you know, I hope we're doing this show and, you know, the next time they draft a rookie quarterback after C.J. Stroud has had an incredible football career. Like, I hope we never have to go back to where the Jets are right now, where the Browns are right now. It's just the floor has been raised for now and for the foreseeable future.
As long as they have C.J. Stroud, I do not see this as a team that loses more games than it wins.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 9 wins, for the most part, going forward, barring some sort of catastrophic injury that Stroud suffers. And even with the schedule, what it is this year, a lot more difficult. expectations are raised. And I will again say that if they had played that game that they played against the Colts Sunday against a better team, they probably would have lost. But they are not in the same realm as the New York Jets, who kept on jetsing last night, or the Cleveland Browns, who have another massive disaster on their hands in addition to that putrid performance against the Cowboys that we saw on Sunday.
You're not the, I don't know, like half the NFL right now, which is what's nice. There's so many teams in the league that, like, you're just not them anymore.
We're upper class.
We're
upper class now.
You're not the upper class.
No, that's true.
You're not hiding a Christian McCaffrey injury and then replacing him with some guy that I've never heard of.
You sound so mad about that.
Oh, it's a gambling thing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like it.
I do like it. I like seeing the gamblers mad. I like seeing the fantasy football people mad.
You know, I used to not have a problem with it until they got in bed with the gambling companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that's when I'm like, oh, this is kind of shady that, like, you are sponsored by all these betting companies and yet you have a player like Christian McCaffrey who's been out since Friday. You just didn't tell anyone. See, I don't like that. I don't like that you're in bed with these companies and breaking the rules.
Some context, Christian McCaffrey supposedly, based off of an interview that Jordan Wilson, who played very well for the 49ers last night, did with Lisa Salters after the game, supposedly he found out that he was going to play or start on Friday, and everyone's jumping up. It's like, oh, Chris McCaffrey got scratched at the last minute, and my fantasy team lost, and my gambling picks lost. Why didn't they report it? F you. They don't care. They don't have to care about you. Go F yourself. I hate those people.
I know.
You're losers.
Paul just said he hates
loser,
me.
Losers. You're Paul a degenerate called loser. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Sean, Paul just called me a loser and said he hates me.
Joe, I do. I hate all these whining losers.
I just don't like it. To be honest, but counterpoint, I think people like Jordan Schultz, who were then complaining about the media asking
he was kissing
Jordan
ass.
Mason a question about knowing since he was playing not or he's going to play since Friday. The people complaining about that question are worse.
Buttered his biscuit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
Sean, are you a loser?
No. The whole Jordan Mason thing.
Just you.
Do you think that teams tell you exactly when they find out about a player's availability? No, they have an entire thing at 10:30.
And I should be used to it, Kyle Tucker. That's all I have to say, Kyle Tucker. I should be used to it.
Yeah, that and also, but in the NFL, like
an hour and a half before the game,
before the noon games, there's always on all the pregame shows, there's whatever insider going through all the inactives the 90 minutes before the kickoff. This was a Monday night game, so it's a little bit different because it's the last game of the week. Whatever. I still don't really have that much sympathy we're not entitled to know exactly when guys are ruled out of games.
So
that's
what
just not how it works out.
The Texans are not in that upper class where Jordan Mason can come in and go off and dominate the Jets. They're not there just yet.
No, they need a mysterious Joe Mixon injury, and then Dare Ogunbowale goes and rushes for 130
Sean
yards.
Sean calls a shot that when Joe Mixon misses a game, it's Ogunbowale that goes off.
Damian Pierce. It was interesting to see that Ogunbowale did get a couple of looks. Pierce looked better, for what it's worth, on Sunday.
I agree with that.
Pierce looked the best he's looked in a while.
Yeah, no, he took like three snaps.
But all three carries, or the three carry or
whatever
two carries he had, were pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
The run blocking is better, and life is better if you're a Houston Texans fan. You are no longer anywhere close to franchises like the Jets and the Browns, at least based off of the Week 1 results. But I feel very good about this team going forward, and I just wanted to tell everybody, while I was bad cop yesterday, but I was more just actually good teacher, trying to raise your standards, we do know that we are in an elevated place, and that's why we hold them to these expectations, unlike teams like the Jets and the Browns, who you always expect to puke all over themselves. He is Joe George. He's mad at Jordan Wilson. Is he a loser? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Let's talk about Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was arrested before Sunday's Dolphins-Jaguars game. We got body cam footage. I'm curious how everyone's feeling after the fact about what happened to Tyreek Hill. We'll discuss amongst ourselves. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Interesting take from a texter in response to me calling everybody who was mad about the Jordan Wilson and Christian McCaffrey situation last night. Very interesting text. We'll get to that at 12:45.
Jordan Mason,
my bad. What did I say? Wilson? Okay.
He used to be on the 49ers, I think.
They've had so many running backs.
That's Jeff Wilson.
Close enough. We just combined the names.
Thinking. That's what I was thinking. They've had so many running backs, and it almost always works with Kyle Shanahan. If you were betting on the 49ers, you still should have felt good about betting on them going up against the bum-ass Jets.
They smoked them.
To open the season. And if your fantasy team got screwed, tough bleep.
Also, it's week one. You'll be fine.
You can always find a running back generally in the last hour to bring in there. You could have put somebody else in there. It sucks, but guess what? The world doesn't revolve around you, you little Gen Zer.
Also, Christian McCaffrey had a big red Q next to his name for the last like 3 weeks when you're doing fantasy drafts. You should have maybe thought that, you know, Christian McCaffrey might not play all 17 this year.
I want to talk about Tyreek Hill. It is possible for everybody to be in the wrong here. I feel like we are so divided as a country that everyone thinks that you either have to be team police here or team Tyreek Hill. And it's always interesting to see the immediate reactions to something like this before more details come out. And that's why when we talked about this yesterday, we said, hey, let's wait until the body cam footage comes out. Let's wait until the dash cam footage comes out. Mm-hmm. Here's what we know. What we know is that, at least per police, Tyreek Hill was supposedly driving about 60 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. He was pulled over by police officers, and we saw video of him being detained forcibly on the ground outside of his car for said violation. How did it escalate? We weren't 100% sure. Body cam footage was released yesterday. I feel like the audio is fairly telling about what kind of a police officer this guy is, but I'll let you guys listen for yourself. If you haven't watched the video, you should check it out. Here is the body cam audio of Tyreek Hill getting arrested.
Hey, keep your window down. Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down, I'm gonna get you out of the car. That's a mother, get out of the car.
Give me that, mama.
Get out of the car.
Give me that, we'll break the f***ing window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. 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 What part of God do you understand?
Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting arrested. I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting out, bro. God damn, twin.
When we tell you to do something, you do it. You understand?
I'm getting out.
You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting out.
You're a little f***ing confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late. Too late.
All right, bro. Take me to jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It is good.
Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone. Can you stop crying?
Bro.
So, here's what happened. Tyreek Hill had his window rolled down. He handed his ID over to the police officer, and then he rolled the window back up. For those who don't know, I went to high school in Florida, and I'm pretty sure I remember while taking my course about driving in Florida, I'm pretty sure that I remember this, but you're required to roll your window down when the police are attempting to pull you over. Now, I don't know what happens when you roll it back up, but I will, for a moment, take the cop's side from this perspective. It's Florida, so anything can happen. The windows to that car were tinted.
Mm-hmm.
You roll up the window. You don't know what the person in that passenger seat is going to do. That said, when Hill rolled the window down and opened the door and seemed to be complying, that guy, who may have been annoyed with a little bit of attitude that Hill gave him, I felt like he lost his temper.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where it's very clear that both sides can be true. Was Tyreek Hill putting people in danger, allegedly, because we don't have footage of that. I'm going to assume that part of the story is correct for now, that he's driving 60, going in and out of traffic.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Especially if you're in a sports car like that. I mean, you're going to get pulled over every single time. You are essentially a magnet for yourself. And in that situation, he was definitely in the wrong.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But did it need to turn into him getting slammed to the ground outside of his car? And when Calais Campbell stopped by to ask what was happening, him to get handcuffed as well, this is where I wonder about the mental state of the specific police officer who escalated it a little bit. I think the guy knocking on the window, I feel like that guy was in the right, and I would have been annoyed too if the guy rolls the window up. And I'd be a little wary as well if I'm a police officer in that situation, especially in Florida, especially in that county of Florida, if that had happened. But everything got a little bit escalated, and I don't think it needed to.
No, I don't think it needed to either, because like, while Tyreek Hill was clearly in the wrong for speeding, and then he should have rolled his window down faster, and he should have just quickly complied just to make himself, to make his life easier. Like, if anything, like, it just makes your life easier. Like, I've somehow never gotten a speeding ticket. I've been pulled over a couple times and have gotten away somehow with, like, not getting one. But
same here.
Like, I don't.
Perhaps we have what's called white privilege.
Yeah, probably. I would assume that that's the answer to that question.
I'll share more on that story. Continue your point.
The cop, like, they clearly were very upset about, I think, what you would assume is seeing his actions before they even pulled him over. Like, you could tell these guys were in a bad mood and were very angry with the situation. I think before they even got to Tyreek. Now, we don't have, like, there's more footage that they can show, but they seemed on edge from the moment. And then maybe it's just the stress of game day, whatever it is. The whole situation, though, was bad. And it's good that, it's obviously good that no one got hurt, but there's a reason why this cop also was immediately put on administrative leave. It's like, he was put on administrative leave before halftime on Sunday.
I think it's generally standard for that to happen, okay. But also the body cam footage was released, and I wonder if that was done by the Miami Police Department or what happened behind the scenes there. I'm unaware of that as well. All I know is, whatever the case, you're right. He was placed on administrative leave, and it did feel like he took it a little bit too far because it did seem like Hill was opening the door. His hands were in the air. One was on his phone. It did seem like he was giving up, and they threw him to the ground, and you heard the audio there. I'm not a Tyreek Hill fan, by the way. I want to make that clear. I think he's got a long track record of being a dumbass. And if this guy was going 60 in a 30 around a stadium, it stands to reason that there were pedestrians nearby and that was exceptionally dangerous what he was doing. To what you said, we do not know how that looked. All I know is that behind him, what we can see is that there's like three or four police motorcycles that are behind him. So I'm guessing that they tracked him down. I'm guessing this isn't like a parking cop or a traffic cop or anything like that. But they were all agitated. Things were on edge. Hill should have just listened to what they were doing. When they told him to roll the window back down, he should have done it immediately. He had it rolled down a crack.
Mm.
It's one of those situations where I think everyone escalated this, but I do think that that cop took it further than Hill did. I don't think Hill said that he wasn't being disrespectful to the cop afterwards. For a change, do not think that Hill was intentionally being disrespectful, even if he was being disrespectful.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, even then, like you're, you know, like I have a bunch of family and friends that are cops, and like that's one, like you don't expect people to be civil when you pull them over when they're in a rush to go somewhere. Like that's part of your training. Like you're not going to have civil conversations all the time. There are going to be people who have angst and frustration because they have places to go. And, like, you have to navigate those situations as a police officer. It's part of your job. The whole thing was just the whole throw to the ground. Like, I think that's where, to me, where it's like I didn't love that part of it, where it's like you could have put him in cuffs if you felt that was necessary, which is fine. It's a large – like, he's a big dude even though he's not the tallest guy in the world. But, like, you didn't have to throw him on the ground. Don't like that. Didn't think it was necessary.
Hill's a small guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, he's jacked, though.
Hill is jacked. That is true. But all of those cops were bigger than him. And I thought it was interesting in the statement that they had released afterwards, which we read, like, hey, the officers were fearing for their safety. You know what? The window was rolled up, fine. But once the window was rolled down and they had taken him out of the car and he had one of his hands on his phone, like, I mean, what was he going to do?
Because I'll even give him credit for that. Like, I'll even give them a pass on that for Calais Campbell. Like, I know he was just trying to be a good teammate, but, like, dude, you're like 6'8".
He's huge.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, when you're that big, like, you are auto an intimidating figure. Like, there's not going to be very many people on this earth that are as large as Calais Campbell. So I think, you know, that's not surprising that he was cuffed in this situation. Thankfully, it's not the worst thing we've seen. That's one of those moments where it's like, we've seen worse. Everyone's okay. Like, Tyreek's healthy. That's all that matters. It didn't escalate to a situation that is, you know, would change the conversation about this. So, yes, Tyreek was in the wrong. I think the cops were also in the wrong. This is definitely a lose-lose situation, 100%. I think, for both sides.
Yeah. Hill, driving entitled, acting a little entitled. The cops lost their temper. It's all on camera. And because it's a relevant athlete, it becomes a huge story. This does happen a lot, sometimes justifiably, sometimes unjustifiably. I thought it was very interesting. I think it was Bomani Jones who had a take on his podcast about why there wasn't more, I guess, backlash immediately to it. And while I understand where he was coming from, saying like, hey, like this is something that we were talking about a lot with in sports media with George Floyd and before that with other stories as well. I think, though, that ultimately we should have waited. And ultimately, when you wait, it is one of those things where there's not really anyone in the right here, and there's not anyone really super in the wrong. It's just a situation that got out of hand that blew up.
That is something that I think in sports media, I hope that we've learned to be better with.
Well, like, we definitely haven't. I try.
Yeah.
We definitely, like, as a whole, we definitely do not.
Like, I think, you know, like there, I remember people trying to throw like early comments about Deshaun Watson, you know, when stuff started coming out where, you know, people were hardcore defending him, and they, you know, they didn't wait for any information to come out. And then it was when you defended him more that you really deserved to be criticized. I watched the Duke lacrosse 30 for 30 recently. Like, there are times where, like, it's better to not, you know, you don't need to give a take right away. I think that's one thing that, like, it's okay to wait in a situation like this where you have a player being arrested, he's playing in the game, no one got hurt. It's okay to wait and hear what happened. And I hope that's something that, like, we continue to do, because it's just, it leads to more rational discussion.
It is interesting on the text line where there are some people that are outraged in favor, it seems like, of the F the police, free Tyreek Hill movement.
Yeah.
And some are outraged in the back the blue movement. And I feel like if that's the case, I feel like we've done our job exactly right.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're supposed to be.
Find the middle.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Galata George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next, our college football six pack. Oh, poor Joe. Poor Joe.
Gotta do this again.
We are gonna do it again. I'm gonna revel in your misery, just like I reveled in Jake Asman's last night. Suck it, Jets. College football six-pack. Stick around.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to
boring.
The effects of
time to put down the books and crack open a college football six-pack.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
With Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Let's do it.
He's lining it up. 5 seconds left. NIU up 16-14. 62-yarder. Snap, hold. Jeter's kick. It's blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked! Picked up by NIU! Picked up by NIU! The Huskies have done it! The Huskies with the biggest upset in NIU history! They come to South Bend, Indiana, and they knock off the number 5 team in the country! NIU 16! Notre Dame 14. The football gods were shining down on NIU.
It's Northern Illinois Radio's Andy Garcia after the biggest upset of the college football weekend, as Northern Illinois beat number 5 Notre Dame 16-14. Joe, you're from Northern Illinois, right?
You know, it's so funny. I was so close to going there, to going to DeKalb. Where they're at, it was my number 2 choice originally.
Safety school?
No, I just decided to go somewhere that was way more expensive for some reason. I'm really excited for all my friends that went to NIU. Like, I am happy for them. Like, I had a lot of friends that went to NIU and family members that went to NIU, but my God, Marcus Freeman, like.
Marcus Freeman said that Notre Dame lost because they believed the hype. Do you agree with that, Joe George?
No!
Notre Dame fan?
No! Your quarterback sucks! He's worse than Daniel Jones.
Well, they probably have alternative options, right? I mean,
they do.
Notre Dame.
They do.
They have him. He'll be fine.
They've got a kid who played in the bowl game last year, Algier, who was pretty solid. They got C.J. Carr, the grandson of former Michigan head coach Lloyd Carr, who was a four-star recruit, just sitting his ass on the bench, twiddling his thumbs.
My favorite Marcus Freeman quote is after the game, he said, "We've been here before."
Yeah, that's about, why you should be fired.
He's talking about bouncing back from losses, but he's also been there before in that he lost to Marshall Stanford. In 2022. Oh, yeah, in Stanford, when Stanford was really
Maybe I want him to be fired just because of what you two are doing to me right now.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
It's the college football six-pack.
The way you're looking at me.
It's the six biggest stories of the college football weekend.
It's the biggest upset in the season.
It's the joy that I see in Paul's face.
What joy? Like, you can't hear the joy.
You can see on YouTube, ESPN Houston, and twitch.tv/ESPN975.
I was being a real a-hole going into this segment. I was being such a
jerk. I just can't believe it. I can't believe they lost to that bum-ass school. Like,
Hey, Garrett Wolf went there. Remember him?
I will say.
NCAA football 2006, he was an impact player.
He was a Chicago Bear at one point, too.
Yeah, he's on LinkedIn now.
And you know what? Shout out to Notre Dame, though, because right now, Northern Illinois, they're in the college football playoff. Like, that's... They're the highest ranked non-power five team. Like, they're number 25 in the country. Right now, it'd be number five, like, Alabama or Texas.
It'd be Texas.
Yeah, number five Texas versus NIU in the college football playoff. You know what? I need that. Let's go NIU.
Texas versus
NIU. I need NIU to redeem.
That's not going to go the way
take
you
down
think.
Texas.
That's not going to go the way you think.
Here's the thing, too. Now, I think Sean Mapes should be thanking Joe George's Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who just took down Michigan over the weekend.
I hate this story, too.
31-12. What? Why do you hate it?
Because now I hate the Horns.
This is Steve Sarkisian saying that Notre Dame's loss to Northern Illinois taught the Horns a thing or two about staying level going forward.
How do you prevent what happened to Notre Dame, what almost happened to OU? Is it something you drive in the players' minds every day that things can happen in college football, that losses can happen?
Well, twofold. I think one is we try to hold ourselves to our standard. You know, we have a saying around here, the standard is a standard. And a jersey, a helmet, a stadium doesn't dictate how we prepare. You know, we dictate how we prepare. I think that's the first part. But the second part is human nature. And so what did I do this morning? I walked him through the Notre Dame scenario of them going into College Station a week ago and winning that game and being anointed top five team and in the college football playoff and a week later losing to Northern Illinois. And so I showed that clip of the field goal, and I showed the clip of Northern Illinois storming the field this morning as a good reminder that nothing, we are entitled to nothing. You know, we're capable of anything. We've got a really good team, but we're entitled to nothing, and we're going to earn everything we get, and we're going to have to earn the victory here Saturday night.
It's true, Joe. So
why didn't Marcus Freeman tell the guys that nothing is anointed?
You should have done that.
Why didn't you tell him that the standard is the standard?
That's why he should be fired.
And human nature is human nature. Yeah, human he did nature a lot of saying something is what something is.
Also, there's a big shot in there at the Cougs.
Like,
what
was it?
When he brought up Oklahoma. He's like, what almost happened to Oklahoma?
Well, it almost happened to Oklahoma.
I know, but like, putting the Houston Cougars on the same level as NIU is not
that,
nice.
That is pretty tough.
That's not nice.
You can
nice.
Lose anybody. You can lose Northern Illinois. You can lose the Houston.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Houston was the worst team in the Big 12 last year.
For sure. They're
and they lost by 20 to UNLV.
Right, yeah. Right. Texas plays UTSA this weekend, and thank you to
UTSA.
Joe's horns down multiple times to Sean in this segment. Sean's just being very indifferent about it. That's number two in our college football six-pack. It was a great weekend of college football. Our third cracking features Willie Fritz and Houston. Look, they did a pretty good job against Oklahoma. 16-12. I'm impressed. I like what we're seeing out of Willie Fritz thus far, even though they're 0-2, replacing, of course, Dana Holgorsen.
I think he's gonna eventually get them in the college football playoff. I think he's a great coach.
Joe. Well, that's true. It's expanded now.
Yeah.
They just had to win the conference.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I'm saying they can win the Big 12. So I guess I should rephrase that. Like,
I think it's going to take them some time.
Yeah. You say it the way you the only way they get in is by winning the Big 12 in 3 years. But the way you should say it is, I think they can make the college football playoff with Willie Fritz. Because that's more, whoa.
Yeah, I think they can. Like, I mean, look, they would, like, Tulane in the expanded playoffs would have been in multiple times if it was 12 teams throughout the last couple years. Willie Fritz is a very good coach. So this is, it's a loss, but it's an encouraging sign that if you had better quarterback play, you probably would have won this game.
Speaking of Tulane, who Willie Fritz left Houston for, they almost took down Kansas State. Kansas State needed an end zone interception with 12 seconds left to win 34-27. More good games. This was the nightcap, formerly Pac-12 After Dark. Number 7, Oregon beat Boise State 37-34 on a last-second field goal. And Alabama won 42-16 over South Florida. It was 21-16 with 6:45 to play when, for whatever reason, the Bulls kicked a field goal. Now, we love, what's the USF head coach's name?
Alec Golich.
Because he talks a little bit of bleep before this, saying, hey, they got to play us. Mm-hmm. But, dude, if you're that close to the goal line and you are down, I think, 21-13, you got to go for the touchdown,
have
man.
Have to.
You got to go for the touchdown. And
you're 30-point underdogs, dude.
As soon as they didn't, I mean, things escalated quickly. I can't believe Bama won that 42-16. I stopped watching when they got the touchdown right afterwards. I figured, oh, they'll just milk it. Nope, Alabama was like, we are mad that this is close. Let us tear it up. And USF, I think, quit.
I think USF also just started going for every fourth down. And so they're just giving Bama the ball at their own – or at their, like, 25 or something.
Okay. There were some upsets, though, in this really good weekend of college football that did not have a lot of marquee matchups. The other one, other than Texas, Michigan, Tennessee smoked NC State.
Nico for Heisman.
F Tennessee. My alma mater, Syracuse, I'm wearing a Syracuse shirt right now, is being entirely too chesty after a 31-28 win over then number 23, Georgia Tech. But I'm cool with it. You'll hear from Fran Brown tomorrow in Soft Boys. Not Soft Boys, Syracuse University football.
I mean, look, just be chesty while you can. Like, as Notre Dame taught us, it won't last forever.
It's very, very bitter, Joe.
Yeah, that was so bitter.
It was very bitter towards Texas, very bitter towards Syracuse.
Syracuse is going to play like Duquesne next week.
I got to lash out a little bit.
Illinois beat Kansas 23-17.
It's a good win.
Kansas, big win for the state of Illinois. Big
it was.
For the state of
Joe,
Illinois.
You could have gone to Illinois too, huh?
Yeah, I like my liver though, so I didn't want to go there.
Oh, it was the party school?
Oh, I used to just, St. Patrick's Day was elite there.
How far was that? Where did you go to school in Illinois?
So the first college I went to was called Elmhurst College. It was like a 3,000 person campus, and then I went to Columbia College Chicago.
And the were either
they're
of
about
these
five
schools?
They're about 5 hours from Champaign, where Champaign is.
Yeah, I think Illinois is like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Champaign is like, it's almost like their version of Tech, right? Where like there's nothing around it besides the
farmland.
And then the weirdos who still live there.
You also saw Iowa State upset number 21 Iowa with a game-winning 54-yard field goal. You heard from Andy Garcia, the voice of Northern Illinois football. Was this call by Iowa State's John Walters better?
It'll be a 54-yard field goal attempt for the redshirt freshman, Kyle Conrady, with 9 seconds to go from the right hash. Snaps good, holds good, kick on the way by Conrady, end over end, and it is good! Kyle Conrady hit a 54-yard field goal, and Iowa State leads it 20-19! My goodness!
I think I like the NIU one better.
I like the NIU one better, too.
Yeah. Kirk Ferentz should be fired, the head coach of Iowa.
He's still there.
Yeah. He fired his son.
I keep forgetting that he's been there forever. They have no offense.
You know, funny, like, I know they played Illinois State the week before. Mm-hmm. They scored 40 points. And they scored 19 this week.
How many were on defense?
I think it was all offense last week.
Oh, wow. Hey, they're making progress.
Well, then Kirk Ferentz comes. Oh, he was suspended for week one. That's why it matters. He was suspended week one. They score 40 points. Then he came out to many men, which, like, I don't understand. Like, he was suspended. He wasn't, like, you know.
So I've seen people put mashups with, like, Donald Trump coming back into after he got shot. I mean,
he got shot. Kirk Ferentz was just suspended.
So 50 like, Cent. 50 Cent also got shot. Like,
yeah. Like, I get Trump. Ferentz, I don't get Kirk Ferentz.
Kirk Ferentz got suspended for recruiting Cade McNamara. All right. Yeah.
What's losing to Iowa State the equivalent of? Like the one president who died after like a month because he had a cold?
Yeah.
Was that William Henry Harrison?
I think so, yeah. Our best president ever.
Colorado, we're going to call them that now. Thoughts?
Disaster. On the nickname? Or?
Colorado.
I like it.
Yeah, instead of Colorado.
I don't know if I'm going to remember to say it, but you can say
Colorado lost to Nebraska. Nebraska's now ranked for what it's worth. They're 23. Shedeur Sanders left the sideline with 2 minutes left in the game. Colorado is also fighting against narratives that they are playing Shador's hit single, perfect timing, whenever he scores a touchdown, instead of the actual fight song for Colorado. Whatever the case, said song was played by Nebraska in the Cornhusker locker room after the victory, which I respect. That's a great troll move.
Yeah, Colorado's, they're in trouble. They're in trouble, man. They're not. Dion, I want it to work, but my gosh, like,
I don't think they can
recruit some offensive linemen.
I don't think they can afford to buy him out.
I, you know, do they? Okay.
They've been making a lot of money those last couple
of
years.
Would they want to? They're relevant for the first time in my life because of Deion Sanders. Like, does it matter really if they win 4 football games a year? Like, it's the lowest of low standards. It's like Bill O'Brien at Boston College. Like, does it really matter if he struggles? No, because they have Bill O'Brien. Like, now Deion won't be able to get the jobs he wants. But, like, if you're Colorado, what's the negative to Deion?
I have a quick thing about Deion.
I agree with that.
Are we sure he's going to coach his sons next year?
I'm not sure he doesn't just fail.
What about the last 2 years or last year and 2 games of Colorado football tells you that Deion Sanders is interested in anyone else in the program other than his sons and Travis Hunter?
I think you're right. I don't know if Deion is there to coach a college football program, or if he is there to have Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter be top 5 picks.
Yeah, like, I mean, he didn't recruit this past season. Like, he didn't go on a plane and do in-home visits with a single recruit.
It would be an all-time con job if he took these jobs just so that he could work with all of those players, and then he's just done afterwards. It would be really funny. I kind of hope it happens.
He'll admit it.
That seems like the logical conclusion to this. I think the idea that they're going to try this with a different quarterback next year and a different wide receiver and a different cornerback, because Travis Hunter plays both. Like, what? There's nothing about this team outside of his son and Travis Hunter that seems like it's
Shiloh elite. Sanders, his other son.
Well,
He's out for the year
he
now.
He broke his arm.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any? I mean, he does have a lot of kids.
His daughter does play for the University of Colorado women's basketball team.
Okay.
Or she did last year.
I think that the final step of this is she kicks for Colorado. That's the final step.
Deion Sanders Jr. does the social media stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's got to stay for that job. At least until Deion Sanders gets a better one.
He can go back to Barstool.
Yeah, I was going to say, places to get a social media job.
Yeah.
Wrapping up the college football six-pack, Texas is now ranked number 2. The SEC has 6 of the top 7 teams in the country. Georgia, Texas, number 4, Bama, number 5, Ole Miss, number 6, Mizzou, number 7, Tennessee. Notre Dame fell to 18. They're still ranked, Joe.
They shouldn't be.
They're still ranked.
No.
They lost to a top 25 school.
Yeah. Texas A&M got 68 votes. They're the 3rd out of the AP top 25. Syracuse, 63. Uh-oh.
Let's go
Syracuse and A&M. Syracuse and A&M, they're on a level playing field. They're on a level playing field. Uh-oh.
Shout to E-Rob.
If A&M loses to Florida on Saturday, I'm going to be such an a-hole coming in. In fact, we might even talk about the Texans on Monday. One last thing. Bill O'Brien and Boston College are number 24.
Let's go, BC.
And Bill O'Brien, like Syracuse football, is once again getting chesty. Here is Bill O'Brien when asked about something that took place on the ESPN broadcast, getting defensive and then sarcastic.
On the TV broadcast, they mentioned that you showed clips of FBS teams beating FCS teams pretty handedly.
I never showed one clip.
Okay, yes.
Not one time. I don't know where they got that from. They didn't get it from me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, you'll always get the truth from me.
That's why I wanted to ask.
Guys, about
yeah, FBS. They said that on the TV.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know the difference between FBS, FCS, NCIS, CIA. I have no idea. I just know that Duquesne is a tough football team, and we had to be ready to play them. And I never showed one clip of any of that. Never.
Coach, one question that
You know what? I'm Team Bill O'Brien. Maybe I won't root for the Ags. Maybe I'll be a BC fan. I'm happy for him. Yeah, yeah, I am too.
I hope they would get to 6-7 wins, make their bowl game. I would like my coach to know the difference between FBS and FCS.
And the CIA and NCIS.
Like, I would like. Just,
no, he's having fun.
Just
I
a
like
couple
it.
PowerPoints about the differences, but yeah. No,
let Bill cook.
In general, I'm on O'Brien's side.
Let Bill cook and attack the media, okay? Come on, let him do it.
In Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's some poor college kid. Because they don't have many people that cover BC.
There's probably like two journalists that get paid to cover
and
BC.
And one's a student, yes.
And then all of them are students.
Probably. So that's our college football six-pack. The Astros play the A's the next three. Anyone have a take? Poor Marine got mad at us for not having takes about the Astros over the weekend against the Diamondbacks. Yeah. Okay, I mean, the Diamondbacks are a good team. They did take two out of three. Verlander stunk, but the offense, very good when Julia Morales is on the call. You like that as a take?
Yep.
Huh?
Very bad when Jeff Bagwell is on the call in the series before.
That's a great point.
There are a lot of people that tweet, Baggy's in the booth, don't even need to watch. Apparently, like they're very bad. I wonder, like, is there a website that tracks that?
Probably.
Because, like, I don't want to do all the research on my own.
Yeah.
Nor do I.
Can we get Michael Schwab on that? Or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
Michael Schwab, can we get a, like, runs per Bagwell groan by the Astros?
Yeah, here's my
groans per game.
This sucks, this game. They don't start until, this is 7 o'clock.
It's at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, I forgot for a second.
It's at Minute Maid Park.
Wait a minute. Next series is in L.A.
They have two series on the West Coast before we get out of this month. I'm sorry, all the baseball fans out there. I know that for whatever reason, the people that listen to the station, you want to hear more about baseball than football in early September. Come on. Like, September baseball is the worst. We all know it. There's 20 more games. It's the worst. Half of them are against the A's and the Angels. They should take care of business. Hopefully, Justin Verlander figures his bleep out, huh? Is that enough?
I mean, like,
is that enough?
We talked about raised expectations for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4.5 games up. They play the A's, the Angels, the Padres, the Angels, the Mariners, the Guardians. My expectation is that they're going to win the division. So that's why I'm not, like, stressing.
I'm not either. I feel great.
At this point in the season. Like,
the Mariners stink.
Yeah. Like,
I feel great.
We'll see what Arrighetti looks like tonight. Mm-hmm. Let me get a big bounce back performance from Arrighetti so we can have the conversation about Arrighetti over JV in the playoff rotation. That's what I want tonight.
We'll talk about the Astros. I'm guessing. I don't want to make an executive decision without consulting the two hosts. I'm guessing we're going to talk less Astros on Mondays and Fridays and more Astros on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yep.
I'm just going to guess we're going to be more football-centric around when the games actually happen.
Like, there's more Astros regular season games left in this season than there are Texans regular season games left in this season still. think about that. Like,
we should do something like, when we cross the Rubicon of there's now less Astros season than there are
that'll
Texans.
Be probably like by when we get back on Monday it'll flip.
Yeah.
But at this very moment there is more baseball games left in the season than there are football games.
This is a funny text. This is a person that was mad about me talking about I keep forgetting his name. Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason.
Okay. Yeah. The running back for the 49ers who found out that he was playing instead of Christian McCaffrey last minute because McCaffrey wasn't inactive an hour and a half before the game, which is standard across the NFL. I just figured out why Paul has had 6 jobs in 3 years. Damn, dude. It's more like 3 jobs in 6 years. He pretends to be a shock artist. No, you just are. You aren't. I'm a mega star. That's what I am. And yells like the opening clip, then gets to cat talk before singing. We haven't talked about my cat in a little bit. But this is funny. Not understanding over half your audience has double the interest in your show because they have money on the game is telling. I think you're a loser if you were mad about Jordan Mason playing instead of Christian McCaffrey. You had an hour and a half to figure out what to do in fantasy football when Christian McCaffrey got scratched. And did Christian McCaffrey not playing affect the game in any way? No. What are you complaining about? God, the world does not revolve around you. You're acting like a little Gen Zer. Anyway. It's Galan and George. He's Joe and Paul. 713-780-3776.
The text made me laugh, though.
The caller text. Yeah, I mean, there were funny moments in the text, but I still think you're a loser. Like, you know? Two could play at that game.
It's like the Tyreek Hill thing. Both things can be true.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We're just riding that fence. Straddling it, yeah. Up next, let's appreciate C.J. Stroud because, oh boy, there's a lot of bad young quarterbacks in the NFL. It's Kalani George. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.